taking my burdens. You have given me freedom. You have given me joy. You have taken my burdens. 'Cause you're the
God's people said amen.
Amen.
Thanks to our youth ensemble, to Melinda Hale, and to our esteemed music director, John West, for their leadership. Now I invite you to stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 1, verses 20b through 23. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the beginning of the Christian year, and it's also the beginning of our Advent sermon series, Incarnation. During the next 4 weeks, we'll be asking, what does it mean for the Christ to be born in human form? His parents gave him the name Jesus, but the prophets, the shepherd, the wise ones, and the angels addressed him by other names: Messiah, Lord, Savior, the Word made flesh, Light of the World, and others. And so during this time, we'll be exploring the meaning of some of these titles and what they tell us about the child whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. In this morning's passage from Matthew, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream to tell him to not be afraid, and to assure him that Mary indeed was carrying a child because the Holy Spirit had acted within her body and was now acting within his soul. Joseph was to take Mary as his wife. And then the angel gives Joseph two names for his son, significant because names were ultimately important in the ancient world. First, the angel says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." The great theologian Walter Brueggemann said that the Hebrew name Jesus is the verb save. Imagine on Christmas that we have a baby named Save. Many babies in the Old Testament are named Save. It's the word for Joshua, for Isaiah, and for Hosea. Each of them saved Israel, and now Jesus will save. Jesus will save from sin and guilt. Jesus will save from death and destruction. Jesus will save from despair and hopelessness. Jesus will save from poverty and sickness and hunger. And in all of the stories that the church remembers, it is Jesus who saves. So in one sense, Advent is being ready for the saving one who will come when we can't save ourselves. The second name that the angel gives for the baby is Emmanuel, God with us. The word Emmanuel, spelled with either an I or an E, is found only three times in the Bible. Once in the Gospel of Matthew that we heard this morning, and then twice in the prophet 1 Isaiah. Isaiah had used the title Emmanuel to assure the Israelites that even though their land and their cities and their communities were being plundered by an Assyrian army, and they themselves found themselves walking in darkness as a people, that God was with them. God was present with them even in the midst of despair. God never left them. Now, 800 years later, Matthew knew of Isaiah's writings and that his use of the term Emmanuel was describing a prophecy for that time and for that context. But Matthew also knew that if he were to draw upon that name 800 years later, using a name of hope for the baby to be born in Bethlehem, it would have its own deep meaning. It would have its own context of the Christ child. Emmanuel then would come to mean incarnation. Emmanuel would be the fulfillment of God's promise to be with us in a new way, a way that would forever change humanity. You see, the birth of Jesus the Christ was not just a sign of God's presence. The incarnation meant that God was choosing to take on flesh and blood, that God was choosing to live among us, to be born in difficult times to a less than socially acceptable family, to grow up as a little boy, going to school, apprenticing as a carpenter with his father, and likely experiencing the teasing that all children do. To grow up as a child, having so much fun playing that he didn't want to fall asleep at night or eat his vegetables. Jesus, Emmanuel, felt pain when he fell down, and he cried when he hurt. He got hungry and thirsty and went through all of the growing pains that we went through, including the reality of puberty and young adulthood. And he did all of these things not because he had to, but because he chose to. God wanted to be able to say, I get it. I've been there. I get what you're saying. You see, God chose to be born among us, Emmanuel, to know what it's like to have human feelings, what it's like to face injustice, what it's like to face persecution, what it is like to live and to die. But just as God wanted to experience what it meant to be the Word made flesh, God also wanted us to experience God's divinity, his perfection, his all-encompassing love in a new and powerful and tangible way. The way I think about it is that God is like air. We can't see it, but we know it's there because if it were not there, we would not be able to survive. Amen? We even have a hymn that talks about it, immortal, invisible, God only wise, that speaks of God's power and might that is inaccessible and hid from our eyes. But in Jesus the Christ, we can see God fully expressed, perfectly in human form. You know, this was a hard concept for me to wrap my head around in seminary, is that Jesus is the human and Christ is the divine, but they coexist in one perfect body. That's what it means for God to show forth God's love in human form. God's love is made manifest in Jesus. It's the faith of the church that in Jesus, God was decisively present in the world that made everything new. And in the New Testament, we have evidence that wherever Jesus went, he showed up. Where people were in need and he saved them, lepers, the deaf, the blind, the lame, the hungry, the unclean, and the dead even, his very presence makes new life possible. And the church consists of all the people who have been dazzled by the reality of God, who has come to be with us in this season of both need and joy, all through this miraculous baby. Emmanuel, God is with us. In Jesus, God showed up to save us too. And my brothers and sisters, today we need to show up for each other in ever more tangible ways. This day, we are called to incarnate God's love for others. And through our words and our actions, offer signs of love and grace and hope to one another in this broken and hurting world. As this congregation on the corner of Highland and Franklin, we have a history of offering hope to folks living with HIV and AIDS through our words and our actions. It was precisely that hope that sustained us through the early days of the pandemic. For those of you who remember those days or are old enough, they were terrifying and they were heartbreaking. No one didn't know someone who wasn't affected. Most people had multiple friends diagnosed and passed within a short amount of time. Those were also days of ignorance and fear, when Ryan White wasn't allowed to go to school, when barbershops and salons and even churches said, no gay folks allowed, because, ooh, they might be infected. It was in 1993, 24 years ago, when that fear reached a fever pitch that this congregation proclaimed that all are welcome here by putting up those red ribbons of love on our tower, so that anyone who walked through these doors, whether they be gay or straight, HIV positive or negative, could find a home within this community and proclaim the words of Isaiah, surely it is God who saves me. I will trust and I will not be afraid. Amen. Our narthex has an AIDS memorial plaque that lists the names of those of this community of faith who lived in hope, who knew and believed that despite the darkness of those days, there would be light and hope in the future for those living with HIV and AIDS. And indeed, we see that light and that hope manifest today, not just in cutting-edge healthcare that's available, but the care for one another that we continue to offer in this congregation, because although the nature of the pandemic has changed, the reality of it has not. One of our members, who deeply embodies Emmanuel, God with us, in so many ways, is our own Joe Green, who is a member of the LA County Commission on HIV, and whom we are honored to have share with us this morning. Joe, would you welcome Joe?
Good morning. I'm grateful to be here with you today as a lifelong Methodist, a member of this congregation, and as a member of the Los Angeles County Commission on HIV. I've always found my faith to be an important part of my life, especially for the nearly 20 years that I've been living with HIV. Being of service is important to me and to Methodism, and through my service on the commission, I believe I'm doing what God would want. As I learned in Bible study today, I believe that I'm walking the walk and talking the talk that Jesus would if he were here today. And now a bit about the HIV Commission. It is a planning body. It consists of 51 members appointed by the Board of Supervisors. One-third of us are HIV positive, consumers of Ryan White services, such as medical care. One of the primary roles of the HIV Commission is to prioritize and allocate how the money is spent in LA County. That's millions and millions of dollars a year for both prevention and care. When I first joined the commission, it was my way of giving back to a system that I benefited from. Today, I find myself educating commissioners, mentoring consumers, and helping fulfill a new HIV strategy launched just this past Friday. All I believe are important actions, actions which ultimately leave the world to a better place. I've been involved in the HIV field for many years, long before I became HIV positive. The first World AIDS Day event I attended was in New York City. It was the third World AIDS Day, and it was very somber at the United Nations. Since then, more than 27 World AIDS Days have occurred. A lot has changed, and a lot has not. Here are a few statistics. There are 60,946 people, just like me, living with HIV in LA County. Over half of us in America living with HIV are over age 50. One half of those diagnosed are young and African American or Latino, and nearly 70% who are HIV positive are gay and bisexual. Trans individuals are also disproportionately affected. However, with great advances in biomedical prevention, such as taking a pill once a day called pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, to treatment as prevention, which has only recently been confirmed by the CDC, translates to the fact that if your HIV viral load is undetectable, you basically cannot transmit the virus to another person. The Prevention Access Campaign slogan to promote this is known as undetectable equals untransmittable. And finally, improved HIV testing methodology with community support, we're at the cusp of ending new HIV infections in the United States. I would say we are a reconciling and progressive congregation. And as a member of this congregation, I encourage each of you to review the new Los Angeles County HIV/AIDS strategy. Key tenets of the plan include reducing the number of HIV infections to no more than 500 per year, having those who are diagnosed as being HIV positive at 90%, and of that 90%, have them become undetectable. There is a place for each of us to step up to the plate to end HIV. Given that stigma, racism, discrimination, sexism, transphobia, homophobia, and poverty are the key drivers of HIV, I encourage you to join me in this journey to end HIV by standing up for compassion and inclusiveness. By seeking to reduce stigma and address social determinants of health, such as homelessness, violence, poverty, and lack of education, in order to improve health outcomes for people living with HIV and AIDS. We're already doing this with our red ribbon placed so visibly on our church. It serves as a beacon of hope to those living with and or affected by HIV and AIDS. It serves to help reduce stigma and promote acceptance, all part of the LA County HIV/AIDS strategy. Today, young gay men of color, Black and Latino, trans individuals, and women of color are disproportionately affected. Long-term survivors face multiple comorbidities, which further complicates their health. But through a combined, sustained effort, we can and will end HIV. I would be remiss if I did not thank Reverend Kathy, Reverend Ed Hansen, and Pastor Denise for their efforts in leading this way. I thank you for your past, future, and ongoing efforts to end HIV in our lifetime. We need you to make it to the finish line. Thank you.
Joe, thank you for your witness and your leadership among us. We're grateful for that. And to Dr. Hansen, who has led the Strength for the Journey retreat for folks living with HIV and AIDS for 30 years now, and celebrated that anniversary this year. So we're grateful to him for all his work. And just so you know, next year, on the first Sunday of December, on World AIDS Sunday, our Bishop Grant Haggia will be here present with us to commemorate 25 years of the ribbons on our tower. He's already inked that in his calendar. So ink it in yours now. As Joe alluded to, we need to have lives of compassion for others and to combat the racism, the transphobia, the homophobia that exists still within our nation. And as part of that action step that I alluded to, that I wanted to ask us to take every Sunday of Advent, that expresses the call on our lives as people who believe in incarnation, as folks who want to reflect Emmanuel in our lives, I have one for you today that is not directly related to HIV, but it is related to that kind of phobia, that phobia that existed in the 1990s that I alluded to previously. This past October, Ryan Bold was fired as the children's choir director of his United Methodist Church at Trinity United Methodist in Jacksonville, North Carolina. He had been in service there for 3 years, grown up in that church, and his ministry and employment, lay ministry and employment was deemed effective. But in spite of that, his pastor met with other church leaders and told them that having a gay person on staff was against denominational policy. Brothers and sisters, it is not against denominational policy to hire someone who's gay as a lay person on any staff, and we are working to make sure that it's going to be not just acceptable, but legal to have gay folks in ministry outright as ordained clergy. Amen. There is an open letter to Bishop Hope, to the North Carolina bishop, who is Bishop Hope Morgan Ward, and the cabinet, asking that they take action to make sure this never happens in their conference, and by extension, in any other conference in the United Methodist Church. The harm to Ryan has been done, but boy, there are folks who can help undo that by hiring him, and we can make sure this doesn't happen to anyone else. So on social media, our marketing communications person, Devin Jones, has posted this open letter where you can sign, you can click on. Your clergy staff have already done so. I pray that you will add your name as a layperson and indicate what church you're going to. Because when this church first started going to help with Katrina outreach after the devastation of the hurricane, Bishop Hope Morgan Ward was the bishop in Louisiana and Mississippi and was the bishop with whom we related when we sent our first teams over the years. She knows this church. She knows how much we care about others, and I believe her heart is with us and not with the actions of that clergy, but we need to show her that kind of support. Amen? So go online, go to Facebook, go to our Facebook page. It's on my Facebook page if you can't find it on the church's. It's on Twitter, it's on Instagram. Make sure you do that today as your act of service and compassion this Advent. Because we need our brothers and sisters, because the more that we can get from Hollywood, the better. Brothers and sisters, we need to show up like Ryan, like Joe, like Jesus. We need to incarnate the love of God for all, where all means all, without exception. And so as we prepare to gather around the table, which Jesus set for us by coming to earth and living among us, let us be mindful of other ways we can show who Christ is in our own lives by our own actions. And may our red ribbons of love proclaim hope today and always. Amen.